Blog Talk Radio.
Love is in the air, everywhere you look around. Love is definitely in the radio airwaves today. Hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, November 12th, and time and time again, we are here live in Los Angeles as I come to you live every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. Well, we're not going to disappoint you today because, yes, we have another fascinating show for you today. So we do want to hear from you, so please call in and listen by dialing 347-857-2710. We are here live until 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. So let's get right to our show. As you heard that little jingle, and yes, if you're wondering who that tone, that voice was, it was I. Love is definitely in the air because the holidays are just right around the corner. And part of the holiday experience is spending time with loved ones. So these holidays can also be an opportunity to find new love and romance. And as many of my single friends, it's so interesting, describe to me the difficulties they encounter in dating, trying to find Miss or Mr. Right. And today's offline, online dating world can be quite challenging for most people. But my guest today, the love interpreter, love that, love what she does, is going to help us find solutions that empower you. As a spiritual intuitive and body-mind-spirit specialist, Charlene Timms has been empowering people for the last 20 years. And we just don't have enough time on today's show to name all of Charlene's credentials, but just to name a few, she is a clinical hypnotherapist, an NLP practitioner, and a Reiki energy and theta brain wave healing practitioner. Wow, we have to get her talking about that. That sounds very interesting. And Char, as her clients know her, approaches her work from a caring, compassionate, and spiritual point of view. And Char even has a motto, and her motto is, take a chance. Sometimes good things happen, sometimes bad things happen, but if you don't take a chance, nothing happens. So let's get something happening, and please give a warm welcome to Charlene Timms. Hi, Char.
Hi.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I can tell. I feel the love. The love is in the air. Don't you feel it?
It's heavy.
It's heavy love?
It's heavy love in the air.
Well, I know our listeners have been anticipating your appearance on today's show, and we actually have some emails that we will address a little bit later on in the show. But I want to ask you, you know, we talked briefly before your appearance, and you have seven principles of dating. Can you go into detail what the love interpreter's seven principles of dating are and explain a little bit of each of them?
Okay. The first one is no time frame. The second is no attachment. And third is be the person you're looking for. The fourth is to have fun. The fifth, be a good listener. The sixth, be have an appreciative attitude. And seventh, love yourself, because you're the most important person. I will probably be going into these in and out as we talk over the show, but just to get started, people wonder, what do you mean, no time frame, no attachment? What's that mean? I mean, I'm going on a date. I'm looking for Mr. Right or Miss Right. So I'll address that first. One of the types of stereotypes that I work with is called a closer. And she is the type of person that is interviewing her guy. So the guy feels like he's being interviewed as a sperm donor or being pressured, you know, to get married and have children right away. Usually the closer is the person that biologically can hear her clock ticking, and, you know, she's feeling that the pressure of childbearing years. So
she just wants to have a baby. She doesn't want to go on a date. She just wants to go and have a baby right away. Is that it?
Yeah, she wants to bypass date 2, 3, and 4. But I like to quote Forrest Gump. He said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And dating is the same way. You pick a guy and you take your chances. If things work out, he'll be ready for commitment. Sometimes you'll end up with a time waster, and you just have to invest some time up front and take your chance that things will work out. Now, regardless of whether a man says he's a commitment type or not, when the right woman comes along, all bets are off and he's ready. So
it sounds as if, I guess, both women and men have to come to the dating table without any agenda. That is just about dating. So they can't have an intention of, oh, my clock is ticking, like you just explained with the closer, that my intention is to find somebody to have a child with. So you kind of have to let go of those intentions and just go out and want to meet someone.
Exactly. That's what I mean by not having a time frame and not being attached. You're not attached to this guy has to be the one, or this girl has to be the one. Exactly.
So number three, when you say be that person you're looking for.
Well, that goes back to the old saying that if you want a friend, you be a friend. So whatever you're looking for, if you are in that energy field of what that is, you're going to draw that kind of a person to you.
Like attracts like.
Exactly.
So if you're outgoing, communicative, you're going to meet somebody who's outgoing and communicative in that way.
You have a better chance, absolutely.
Chance. And I guess, you know, just getting back to the second principle of dating, that no attachment, not only, I guess, you're telling us about various types, which I think we're going to talk a little bit later on throughout the whole show, but I guess when I was dating, I never really looked at the outside of the person, meaning the box that that person came in, because I think a lot of people get stuck in the physical attributes. They want somebody who's 6'3", blue eyes, and et cetera, et cetera. And when you limit yourself that way, it's very hard to find somebody. But if you go into dating or meeting anybody with an attitude of, I want somebody who's loving, who's caring, understanding, then whatever that looks like, your chances of finding somebody with those attributes is much easier. Don't you agree?
I agree. And that's the surprise package.
Oh, you have a surprise package?
Well, you don't know what the package is going to look like, you know. The surprise is what you want inside, but, you know, he may not be 6'3".
How would you help people get over that initial package of always looking for their perfect guy, how they look, their body build, et cetera? How can one really go beyond that? What do you recommend?
Well, the better you know yourself, the better that you're going to be able to see those qualities in someone else. So I always say work on you, not on the other person or what you're looking for in the other person.
Isn't that always true in talking about many things in our lives, whether it's personal, career-oriented? It's about working on ourselves first to achieve whatever we want outside of ourselves. And I think that's a wonderful point that you brought up. It's about an awareness.
Exactly. So you become the person you're looking for.
Now, I have a friend. She's very attractive, and a lot of guys hit on her, but she is not aware of it. And so one time we were going out for lunch, and I said to her, after we had been into a little boutique, I said, did you know that that guy was looking you up and down? He thought you were cute. And her comment was, I wasn't aware.
Exactly. And that's my role as the work that I do, is to help people be aware of how they're sabotaging themselves, or how, you know, that they're just not present when they're out there.
So it sounds so easy just to say, okay, I'm going to be aware. Ta-da! I'm aware. So what would be something, take me for an example. I come to see you. I'm on a first date, and I really like this guy, and he's not calling me back. So how do you help me become aware of my actions and who I am, and help me understand that it's how I'm I'm being perceived by someone that might prevent me from moving forward?
Well, there's several ways, but, you know, we live in a feedback kind of culture. And if you're in the dating scene and you're getting a lot of dates, but you're not getting second dates from these people, then one of the services that I provide is called an exit interview, where obviously you are being perceived or misperceived in a certain way. And the only way to find that out would be to call the different people and ask them how, you know, the date went, and there's a certain, you know, types of questions that I ask that. And then as I talk to different people that have gone out with you, there becomes a pattern. And that's usually the pattern that you're not aware of. And it's not a choice of, you know, changing who you are, changing your personality, basically, but just tweaking it or becoming aware that you do these things and that's what turns the guy off, or the guy decides, oh, you're this or you're that, and then doesn't call you back. So, you know, I mean, you could have many potential relationships and be unaware that, you know, a pattern that you have, or maybe comments that you say are sabotaging them.
I think it's interesting, too, that some people wouldn't even address themselves in that much depth. They would just say, oh, God, I'm just so tired of going out on a date, not finding the right one. I'm not going to date anymore. They never rarely, obviously, I think on a certain level, they realize it's them, but they feel they don't want to invest that much time and energy because there's nobody worthwhile out there. So if they found somebody of interest, then they would say, oh, okay, so now I have to put a little more effort into it.
Yeah, the problem I see is most women are going out on one first date after another and sending the same signals over and over again without learning what went wrong on the last date that didn't work out. And when I've asked the women why they think he didn't call them back for a second date, her answer is 90% of the time not the answer I get from the guy when I do an exit interview with him.
So what would be one answer that you would get from women as to their reason why the guy doesn't call them back?
He's too busy, or he was intimidated by me. That's a real common one.
And then if you then called the guy that this person dated, what is his response as to why he's not calling her back?
Well, they're varied. It depends on, you know, it depends on the woman. I have, you know, kind of put dating types on people and what their characteristics are. And if, you know, if you want to go into that a little bit, then you know, that's the easiest way to explain things.
Let's do that, because maybe our listeners could say, oh, that's me. I'm one of those people. And so maybe we can give some helpful information. So what's a couple of the dating types for women?
Okay. As you know, men sometimes screen women for beauty. Women sometimes screen men for money or the potential for it. And so my first dating type I call the Park Avenue Princess.
Love
She's the money detective.
Love that.
And men don't call back the Park Avenue Princess for several reasons. She's very high maintenance, or she's picky about her discerning taste. She can appear to be only interested in money, and she's perceived superficial. She's perceived as a fake, and this may be far from the truth, but, you know, she expects the man to take care of her financially and emotionally. And let's face it, both rich and poor men know that money is a factor in the dating scene, but they want to be loved for who they are, not taken advantage of financially, or wonder if her feelings are, you know, if they're genuine or not. So they especially want to feel appreciated, and that's one of my principles also, is appreciation. Women in this category, they think that they're being very subtle detectives, and they ask questions like, so is your apartment a one-bedroom or a two-bedroom? Does your company give you stock options? You know, I mean, they think that the guy doesn't get what she's asking about.
That's so amazing. I never asked those questions when I was dating. That's,
yeah,
that's
well, times have changed.
I guess so. Boy, I'm so glad I'm not single.
You know, and sometimes they ask, you know, what kind of a car you drive, or they, you know, watch you drive up and see what kind. And I had one guy tell me that he has two cars, that he has an older Toyota and a Corvette, and he purposely drives the Toyota on the first date to fend off the gold diggers. So,
well, so he understands. See, that's amazing. So as a man, he is aware of women who want him just for his money.
It tends to be a big thing at this particular time, and I have a lot of men telling me that on the first date, even, that women will ask them for a loan.
That is amazing.
I know. But, you know, what's interesting is in our day and age, there are so many Internet dating sites. And if that's the case and you're that type of woman, and I'm not, you know, putting you down if you are that type of woman, but they have dating sites for you. They're called richandbeautiful.com and millionairematch.com. You know, there's even one called sugardaddy.com. So if that's your thing, you know, I mean, there's a place for you. But we're talking about, you know, the normal dating world where someone is trying to hook up with someone that they want to be with for, you know, their life.
Now, let's say the Park Avenue Princess, is that particular woman a little maybe older and she feels her clock is running out, or age is not a factor in any of these?
No, age is not a factor. There is just as many young women, you know, younger women as there are older women in this. You know, Park Avenue Princess is the woman that refers to her Ralph Lauren paint colors or her Italian leather sofas, or, you know, in conversation she'll mention her 500 thread count Egyptian cotton sheets or something like that, Evian water, she only drinks one brand, or, you know, and then get the idea that she could never be pleased and that it would be just too much work to please her. So, you know, if she has high-end taste, then he may conclude that he wouldn't, you know, wouldn't or couldn't maintain her lifestyle on his salary, and then he assumed that they wouldn't be compatible, and then he won't call her back. So, you know, a lot of times that's not who the woman really is, but she's trying to impress him, or she's nervous. So she comes across that way. So that's where I come in to point those things out. So she's not really changing who she is, but she wouldn't be doing it on the first date. You know, the unfortunate result of the Park Avenue Princess Syndrome is a man can feel like he would never be enough or have enough for her. And, you know, speculate that they just wouldn't be compatible.
Well,
and usually that's the woman that thinks that he was intimidated by her personality.
It's interesting how both sides see the same thing a little bit differently. And it's true, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. So you always do want to put your best foot forward and just be yourself. And I think most people might feel that who they are is not good enough. So they maybe have to wear the Park Avenue Princess and so forth. So let's go back to a man. Give us an example of a dating type for a man.
You mean what the women say about the men?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, number one on the list is the puppy dog.
Aww.
Exactly. Exactly. He's described as looking like a sad puppy dog when he says goodnight to her. And to the woman, you know, she's seeing him as just too nice, too transparent. There's no intrigue. Women, they like an edge. They like a little bit of an edge. And also, if you're too nice and, you know, overly accommodating, you come off as desperate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, number one, I won't call you back date breaker for women. They don't want a guy that, you know, is desperate.
I think men have to find that even balance between being the naughty boy, which a lot of women seem to be attracted to, and a loving, compassionate man. I think if a man is charismatic and confident, confidence is a big personality trait, and that's very appealing to most women. Because sometimes naughty boys are naughty, but they don't really make the best partners.
Right.
Very
yeah, because if you're too eager, a woman thinks that she can walk all over you.
Yeah. Well,
and that's not good.
That's not good, no.
No.
So let's attack one of these emails that I've got. I got Miriam from Studio City, California, writes, "Why can't I find the right one?" And it's something that we just talked about a little ago. I am signed up with all the online dating services and can't find anyone. And she puts a couple exclamation points after anyone. So it sounds like Miriam has really seen her last dating service. So any information for Miriam?
Well, Miriam, I think that, you know, we would need to get together and talk a little bit further about this because it's more of a deeper question. But just off the top of my head, I think that the exit interview, if you're having several dates and you're on all these dating services, having several one-time dates, we need to find out what's going wrong. And also is, you know, what's going on with you? I mean, do you feel like there isn't anyone out there that is right for you? And if that's the case, then a lot of times that's the energy that ends up being on the date is you don't feel, you know, you go in thinking that they're not going to be the right one, and then it goes downhill from there. So I would suggest, number one, is the next date you have, just go and have fun. Don't worry about him being the right one. Just have fun, because the more fun that you have and the more relaxed you are, the more the guy's going to want to spend time with you, the more he's going to want to call you back.
I think I think that's a place to start, Miriam. I hope you're listening. I hope listen to Charlene's advice. I think that's a nice place to start. And I think Charlie from Scranton, PA, writes, and we already just talked about this, how can I get someone whom I'm interested in to call me back? And, Charlie, I think that goes back to what Charlene was talking about with the various dating types, to, you know, look at some of them. And Char, do you have maybe another dating type for men that Charlie can hear and maybe get some idea if he fits into that category?
Well, I think the second most dating type that females told me about was the not-so-macho man. I mean, the macho man's okay if he's not too macho, but then you get the not-so-macho man. And if, you know, no matter how modern a woman is, and we are in this age, they still want a guy to generally act like a traditional man. And women want to and expect chivalry and career success and a take charge attitude in a guy. So, guys, don't go Dutch at Starbucks.
Amen, sister. I always say chivalry is dead. Anytime I'm walking down the street and a gentleman opens a door for me, I say thank you. And then occasionally I'll say, wow, it's so nice to know that chivalry isn't dead.
Exactly.
I think it's just courteous. It's just being respectful of each other. And it has nothing to do with I'm a woman, I'm strong enough to be able to do this, or da-da-da-da. And I think, unfortunately, we as women have sometimes ruined that aspect for ourselves because we're trying to compete with men in a certain way. And you know, this way it's, I don't know, I there's a little bit of old-fashioned girl in me, and I love that. It's the romantic person.
Yes. Yeah. Women want a gentleman to act like a gentleman, you know, and they want a man who will speak in full sentences. Someone who has the confidence to put himself out there, so he's not a wimp. in other words.
That is so funny that you say that. So what would be not a full sentence, an incomplete sentence? Uh-huh. Would that, is that it? Is that how a guy would respond?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
You know, uh-huh, yep. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Not a full sentence. Or, you know, that come across with, well, you know, if you aren't busy, I would like you, you know, I wouldn't mind going out with you if you're not busy sometime.
Well, isn't that really is going to get me calling him, isn't it? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And partly I think it's due to maybe it's a certain generation of social skills or how to communicate in a social environment at a party or wherever you are. A lot of people, especially today with technology, everybody's plugged into an iPod, to a phone, you're texting, people misspell because they send abbreviated words. And so we don't have that connection, a one-on-one connection anymore.
Right, right.
And it's less and less. That's why people like to or feel more comfortable looking for a mate online because they are freer to express themselves as opposed to meeting somebody at a bar or wherever and saying, oh, hi, I'm so-and-so, and starting a conversation. The funny thing is I actually had a friend of mine want me to help her with her daughter. She says, my daughter, she was, what, 38, very pretty woman, and she had trouble meeting people. And I don't know if it's because I'm married and the onus of meeting somebody is not that important, so I can be more of myself, but I just think it's just being who you are. And just, I mean, if you say something silly, so what? You know,
mm-hmm.
you just got to have fun and always, you know, I was always told if you can say something complimentary to someone that's genuine, do so because you endear yourself to them, and then that opens
people
up a little bit more. You know, we're almost running out of time. I have a couple of important questions I wanted to ask you. What do you think is the goal you would like to achieve with your clients in this regard as a love interpreter?
Well, always my goal is to empower my client and to bring out their inner magnificence. Through working with me, my goal is to make you so desirable that you want to date you.
I like that. I have often asked myself out, and really, do I get a no?
There you go. There you go.
Me and I, we all go out together. So, but you are the love interpreter. What other? You have so many other qualifications. As I read, you are a clinical hypnotherapist. Would hypnotherapy come into play as something you might use to help any of your clients deal with dating?
Well, yeah, because, you know, if you have certain habits that you want to change, then you could use hypnotherapy to do that. Definitely. Yes. You know, just I always said that I, when I grow up, I want to be a professional friend, so I guess that's kind of what I am.
Well, I think that's a kudo to you. If people can feel free enough to be able to come to you and talk to you and tell you their deepest, darkest secrets, that's really a compliment for you, Char. So that's beautiful. But before we go, because we're almost out of time, I want to give people some contact information for Charlene. This has been a fascinating topic, and I know my listeners have so many questions and would like to contact Charlene Timms. You can email Charlene at lhealer@sbcglobal.net, and in the subject line, just reference radio show. So you go directly right to Charlene. So that's lhealer@sbcglobal.net, and make sure you reference radio show in the subject matter. Or you can call her and really speak to her live and in person at 310-980-6116. So once again, I want to thank Charlene. Char, thank you so much for being on the show. What a blast.
It was great fun.
So much fun. And next week, November 19th, please join me. Back by popular demand will be Zach Kleiman, Los Angeles tennis pro, who blends exercise and talk therapy. And guess what? Another fascinating show here this afternoon. So this is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you for joining me and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. See you next time. and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes.